It's a great way to get some aggression out instead of beating your kids.
I guess so. Anyway, hey!
Oh, my God.
Special delivery for Pat Bradley. We're at Double B's Exxon in Bologna, Chris.
Just, Chris,
just
why
throw it right down here.
Right
there. Make yourself at home. You throw that pizza wherever you like. Oh, let's see here. Oh, baby. I see sausage. I see mushroom. Man, that's Chris. I mean, seriously, this radio gig is ridiculous. I cannot believe you're still working in print media.
Y'all get fed. You work what, like 3 hours a day, and then you call it a day.
No, I work 4 hours a day. Back off.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. Sorry.
I know.
Listen, it's a full time job, 24 hours a day, being Justin Akery. You kidding me? 7 days a week.
I do want to commend and or suggest you get professional help, Chris Bond. Chris Bond, because Chris Bond
is your
Bond. Chris
you
Bond.
Really like to just
no,
stop.
But I was reading through the roundtable this week, which, by the way, they got Paul Feinbaum to join in on this week, so he was interesting as usual. But Chris and I almost verbatim had the same exact positions on everything. It's crazy.
So you're
either brilliant or you need to seek it. You need a team of doctors working on you around the clock.
Professional help.
So I guess one of the big questions was how much do you credit Arkansas and how much do you say, well, they played two horrible teams? Feinbaum, I think, overstated his case. Oh,
Chris,
we lost Chris. Come on back, Chris.
I think it was when you said you two agreed with each other. That's why he just hung up.
He's like, oh, I can't hear you. Sorry. What? This isn't working.
What'd you say?
Tune in Tokyo.
I can see him right now. Honestly, he took his cell phone into his closet and got out all his Barbie dolls. There's no doubt in my mind right now.
I wonder if he'll call back. There's a few things I want to talk to him about. Chris, are you there?
Hey. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. Cell phone.
I thought you hung up because you were afraid that we were too much alike and you couldn't take it.
That Ralph, does concern me, that we would have such similar answers.
You're not ready for that.
So here's the deal. You and I had the same answer on this, and it's a total cop-out, but I couldn't help it. How much do you credit Arkansas with their performance the last two games, and how much do you say, well, look, they're playing terrible teams? And before you answer, I do have to say, for Feinbaum to overstate his case so strongly, he said these are the two worst teams in the history of SEC football.
Oh,
easy, Paul Feinbaum. Easy.
Hey, man, Feinbaum's doing his Feinbaum thing. So, and I mean, you know, we knew what we were getting with him when we brought him in. We knew there was going to be a little
hyperbole.
You know, hyperbole. It was funny talking to Jeff Long on Monday at the Touchdown Club because he followed Feinbaum by a week and. Feinbaum had said something about this being the most important hire in the history of Arkansas and the history of Jeff Long's, you know, job. And so Jim Harris asked Jeff about it. And he was like, yeah, that's over-dramatization sports talk radio for you.
Yeah, so. I didn't like that. That hurt. You know what? Here's my thing. Why do you have to drag all of us down just because Paul Feinbaum gets a little squirrely and overstates his case?
That's true.
Right? Don't kick our whole industry because Paul Feinbaum overstates his case on every single thing. So
Feinbaum's great at that. Whereas you and I were a little, we took a little different approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to be reasonable. You and I are, I think, remarkably logical about the whole thing. I try not to overreact. I've gotten better about it. But I mean, there is some reason to be somewhat optimistic. I think Matt Jones. Put the odds of them making a bowl game at like 15% today.
Is that I definitely agree, man.
You think 15% is too well, Chris? And then Chris Kane, who never played quarterback at Arkansas.
Watch out, buddy.
Oh, I have a bee on my head.
Bite your head.
We were at Double B's, and I've only got one bee on me. Where's the other one? Anyway, Chris Kane had it at 45%, which I thought was probably okay.
I just want to know which games people think that they're going to win.
Excuse me, 1 second.
Don't splatter them.
You're going to die!
Oh, my God. He just murdered a bee. You sick animal.
Well, look, somebody had to go, and it was me or the bee. Bee's dead. That's the second bee I've killed this
week.
So now,
is it just Exxons? What is going on?
It's welcome back to Single Bees.
Single Bees.
Okay, so I killed his buddy. Sorry about that. Anyway, go on, Chris. Where would you put the odds of Arkansas making a bowl game?
Oh, there was a question there. I had no idea.
Jeff Long, there was a question there.
35 to 40% range. I mean, I think they've got a better chance now than I thought 2 weeks ago of beating Ole Miss and Tulsa. And then they've got to upset one of those teams. It's like a combined, 17-2 or something at this point. But I think LSU, I think that might be a winnable game for them.
So that you like the chance of those three games, LSU to you is the most winnable?
Yeah,
because I love
it. At home, you know, Arkansas yeah. will still have something to play for at that point. So yeah, I think that's the that would be the game that's the most likely upset if there is one.
Here's my thing, and I know that people are going to say you're a crackhead. And I do admit that I'm a little bit biased. I cannot take seriously South Carolina, despite the fact that they deserve to be taken seriously. Understand all that. But you can't say there's no chance they could win that game. I still am not 100% buying that team. And obviously Arkansas's got enough issues that South Carolina will probably look like a world beater offensively. Mississippi State, I'm still not 100% sold on them. I mean, who have they beaten that's impressive? What great win have they had? The best one they had was last week against a Tennessee team that clearly has some issues.
The two things is with those. My thing is they're on the road. Arkansas has, even in really good years, that 2010 team, struggled at Starkville. That usually seems to be a really close game. Last year was a blowout, but that tends to be a pretty good game. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on that. And I think Mississippi State's a physical team. I don't think Arkansas's done well against physical teams this year. The odd thing to me, South Carolina seems to be built like, a physical Alabama or LSU, one of those type teams. But Arkansas has just destroyed them on the offensive and defensive lines the last couple of years. So Arkansas's had their number. Now, a lot of that may have been the former coach, but we'll see what he who shall not be named does with this team against Carolina.
Yeah, I have decided that if Arkansas beats Ole Miss, he gets his name back. I'll start calling
him. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't want to wait until they beat somebody good?
Nope. I think Ole Miss is good. I think Ole Miss is a solid football team. I think Ole Miss has shown me enough that I think they're a solid football team. The difference between them and a lot of teams in the league, they're getting better every single week. Yep. Auburn's not getting better every week. Arkansas, maybe. We're going to find out when they play Ole Miss. But I know for sure they're getting better every week because the team that was down to Central Arkansas at the half this year, that ain't the same team that's playing right now. I promise you that.
Yeah, they're better. Their offense scares me a little bit for Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But I think Arkansas has improved. My thing is they barely beat Jacksonville State. I shouldn't say barely, but they didn't dominate Jacksonville State. They lost to a Sun Belt school. And then to come out and outscore, and I'm bad at math, going off my head here, what was it, 73-14 or whatever it is, they've outscored Auburn and Kentucky. I think that's impressive. I think that's a sign, especially offensively. They're limiting turnovers. I think that's a sign they're getting better.
I agree with that. So what game are you watching this week most closely in the SEC?
I'm interested in A&M LSU, and I'm beginning to wonder, and I probably should have mentioned this yesterday, I'm beginning to wonder if we don't need to slip Johnny Manziel into the Heisman talk.
Okay.
If he comes out and has a big win this week, I think we've got to.
Texas A&M surprised you guys? Because they had certainly people were talking about them, first-year head coach, unproven quarterback.
Yeah.
No, now everyone's talking about how good they are.
Well, I did say that they would win some games this year, although I still thought Missouri was going to be better than they've been.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I did too.
Missouri has one good win this year. It's over Arizona State, and we just talked to the OC from Arizona State, but they're getting better every week too. All that being said, I'm a little surprised how quickly they transition. But we did know this. Their lines, and we talk about it all the time. We always look at the skill guys. We always look at the quarterbacks. We always look at the receivers. We always look at the defensive backs. But you know what? You win the game in the trenches. It's an age-old thing. I mean, we ignore it too often. But you knew A&M had SEC-ready lines. So I'm not surprised they're competitive. But certainly I could never have expected that Manziel would come in and go crazy.
Freddie Football.
Freddie.
Johnny, I know, but I like to say him Freddie Football.
It's catchier. It's alliteration.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, that's a good one. Then we got what, South Carolina, Florida this week?
Yeah, South Carolina, Florida, right? Florida has back-to-back, right? Back-to-back-to-back.
I don't know what to make of Florida yet. I haven't really had a chance to watch them, so I don't.
See, we're in the same boat there, too. I'm not sure they can throw it when they have to. I know their quarterback's a good runner. I mean, to me, Connor Shaw and the quarterback at Florida, it's the same deal. I know they can both run it really well, And they can throw it really well at times. I mean, Shaw had a game where he's like 21 out of 22 or whatever he was.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that in a pressure situation when you got to move the ball down the field, two-minute situation, and they're going to have some, that they can do it. So,
can you guys give me a clear number two? No doubt Alabama number one, but who would you guys say is your clear number two? Oregon, obviously Florida. Doesn't sound like neither of you two are convinced that they're number two.
If Oregon goes on the road,
seen them enough.
Yeah.
If Oregon goes on the road and works ASU tomorrow, I'm ready to call them number two. I just think because I know they can throw it when they have to. I know they can run it when they have to. I know they play great defense. You know, that's the thing. I just think they've got fewer question marks. Now, by the end of the year, Florida might be that team.
What up, Wally?
But I'm not quite sure that they are as dynamic as they need to be in the passing game.
Okay. What about you, Chris? Clear number two.
Yeah, I like Oregon. I think in talking to people who know that team and including Gus Malzahn, who faced them this year, and then when he was the OC in the national championship game in, what was it, 2011, but that 10 season, he thinks their defense is better. This is the best defense Oregon's had. And they're just so explosive and so quick offensively. Mm. They got so many playmakers. And at one point they were outscoring people, I think, 163-31 in the first half. Mm. Now, I want to see them play. I want to see them get into the meat of their schedule. But yeah. Right now, I would say Bama 1 and Oregon 2. And
well,
I think that
something.
Would be a great yeah. matchup.
Yeah, I agree. It would be a great national championship game. Here's my thing. If I'm Chip Kelly, I am praying that Florida keeps winning. Because guess what?
What?
I want to be able to say we're being disrespected for a few more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't hurt. Like, I always look for some edge. A couple things out of the SEC.
I thought you were going to say so they could maybe avoid having to play Alabama.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you're going to have Florida and Alabama will have to play before the end of the year if they both keep winning. So somebody's going to lose, and somebody's going to be bounced from the national title game if Oregon keeps winning, which they've got a lot of work to do also, including tomorrow night, by the way.
Yep.
Alabama's LaMichael Fanning. What is it with guys named LaMichael? Apologizes for body slam tackle on Missouri's Russell Hansbrough. That was honestly so impressive. If you're a fan of Greco-Roman wrestling in the Olympics, that's as good as it gets.
That if you're a fan of wrestling, that's as good as it gets.
And if you're a fan of old SEC teams kicking the crap out of new SEC teams, you loved it because that is man boy. I mean, personified right there.
Yeah, that's some old school. What was that? Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, don't get Pat Starr on WWE, guys, please.
It was WWF back in the day.
But he's like, you can just see him, Sergeant Slaughter.
Why can't I think of that? WCW.
WCW.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
Raw. Monday Night Raw,
by the way.
Raw?
Yeah. You know how you look.
I saw it. Acre, you put that video up. I watched it. That is unbelievable. That was unbelievable. Do we call it a tackle?
Yeah, I mean, you called it. I mean, the only thing that would have been better is if the kid would have got air, but like he would have thrown him in the air literally like a rag doll. He threw him in the air and the dude flew through the air backwards like 5 yards. But I could just see him and he didn't do it, but after the play going over to him and go, I'm sorry. Are you all right? You know, I just wanted to bend down and go, I'm sorry, little guy. Are you okay, little tiger guy? I didn't mean to toss you in the air like that. I thought you would be a little harder to bring down. That was just too easy. I'm sorry. But anyway, so he did apologize at least. That was nice. The kid's 6'7", 298. 6'7", 298. Saban said there would be internal discipline as well. I think this young player is excited about getting into the game. Makes very, very poor judgment on making that play. It's something that we don't condone here. It's not how we want our players to play. Look, he's just trying to get the dude down. When you got a guy in a bear hug from the backside, you got one of two choices. You either suplex him.
Or you let him go.
Or you jump on his back and you smash him to the ground. I mean, I don't want a 300-pound, 6'7", dude jumping on top of me.
No.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong there. And I don't want to be suplexed either, but you know what I'm saying. I don't know if there's a good way to. Alabama also in the news. They are playing Tennessee this week. That's a game that not a lot of people are watching closely. And we do need to talk about the coaching situation too, Chris, before we let you go here. But Darrington Sentamore, what a name. Started his career at Alabama, now at Tennessee. Said he wants to beat Saban. It's his personality. It's like some players he will see in the hallway and he'll walk right past you like he don't even see you. I don't like stuff like that.
What?
I ain't going to lie to you. I want this game more than any other game because I want to beat Saban. I've had this game on the calendar for a long time. Well, technically this game's been on everyone's calendar for a long time, but maybe you've had it circled on your personal calendar. He says, and this part makes less sense. You can't get into no trouble. You can't get into the doghouse. You have to stay focused. Wasn't that how it is with every coach?
Well, yeah, isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Supposed to be. If Saban
so
sees your focus.
So Dooley lets them do whatever they want?
I think that's what I took that, yes. Since you have to play for 60 minutes against Alabama, though, so he does give him some credit. He says because they're going to go hard and out-physical you, you have to play for 60 minutes. They want to out-think you and outsmart you. You have to study film and be on top of your game. So he did give him credit. And, look, if you transfer from another school, I mean, I'm sure that's what you want to do. I don't know that I would say it publicly, but.
Yeah. You know, that kid just in a couple of short statements told everybody why Alabama and Nick Saban are an elite program separated from anybody else. Number one, he doesn't put up in anybody's crap. And number two, when he says that they play 60 minutes and they try to outsmart you, not only does Saban get the best athletes, but this kid is saying that he's able to coach those guys to the point where he never said they out-physical you. He says they outsmart you. Right there gives you an example why those guys are so good.
Well, at least they don't outsmart you. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Outsmart you. You have to study film. That's just impressive, man. Saban gets those guys, but we talked about it.
Chris,
coach them up.
Chris, hottest seat. Here's the thing. I just don't see Dooley, and maybe I'm an idiot. I guess I've forgotten it was his third year, so it seems like he hadn't been there that long. Third year for Dooley. Chizik's a couple years removed from national title game. And then you got Mac Brown, too. I mean, and that's the guy that a lot of people are pointing the finger at right now. But who do you think is most likely to get canned at the end of the year?
I think it's Dooley. I think he's – with Chizik, he's got a national championship for his time there. Mm-hmm. So I think that could potentially buy him a little bit of time. Plus he's got – although it's not as big as we once thought it was, the $7.5 million buyout – oof. He's still got a pretty massive buyout that they would have to pay. And so I just think for those reasons, I think he's a little bit safer. I still think he's on a hot seat. I won't be stunned if Chizik is gone. I just don't think Dooley has the massive buyout or any sort of success to show, to kind of help buy him some time.
Do you think a lot of times ADs will wait to fire a guy just because their candidate that they want isn't ready? If in Dooley's case, Auburn or Tennessee, if the guy they want they can't get, are they just going to keep him in there, for a year or two until they are able to hire who they want?
Well, you'd have to be pretty sure, that guy would come. I mean, I immediately think about Arkansas and with basketball, and I don't know what the circumstances were, why they wanted to keep Pelfrey for one more year. Yeah. It worked out well for them. Because they were able to get Mike Anderson. Mm-hmm. But that was probably a move that could have been made a year earlier. I don't know if it's wise to wait around and hope the guy you want is going to be available.
What do you
unless
make about
you have that? A guarantee he's coming.
Yeah. What do you make about that? Because one of the stories with Coach Pelfrey was those recruits. You remember that?
Yeah.
He was like top five recruiting class. Well,
If he leaves,
what's going to happen to him?
Meanwhile,
so
they said, we got to get Houston Nutt out of here so we can get the receivers from Warren. Petrino came
in. Was it Hunter Henry? Was he committed when Petrino was here?
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't know if there was
No, he wasn't.
There.
He wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't? Oh,
I thought he verbally committed previously.
No, Henry wasn't coming if Bobby was here.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Okay. What about Tenpenny? Has he flipped the script yet?
not yet, but I know they continue to work on him and – I think, he's probably a guy that will watch and wait and see what happens with the staff.
That's what I'm going to do, too.
And who the hire is. Which is, it's going to be a really interesting process to follow. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to see this. And it's really long, so if you didn't make it all the way through it, that's cool. But
paraphrase
I talked to four ADs across the country who made hires last year just to kind of get some insight into what it's like to be trying to find a coach, and I thought it was a pretty I thought they gave some great insight into what Jeff Long is dealing with, and how actually this 8 month head start is probably not as good as it's cracked up to be.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's on the website.
Yeah. It's up there. It's up there right now. So
ArkansasSports360.com. Make sure you check it out, Chris.
Will do, buddy.
Enjoy the off week. We'll go ahead and skip. You're off tonight. There is no Hog Wild. There is no coach show tonight.
Skip Friday?
Yeah, go ahead and take Friday, too, my friend.
Yeah,
I mean,
that'll work.
As long as we're not paying you, go ahead and take the day off. It's Friday. Enjoy yourself. We are in the studio Friday making picks.
But all right, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
Chris, thanks, bud. We'll talk to you.
Y'all have a good one.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Cool. See ya.
All right, Chris Bond, Arkansas Sports 316.
He's a good dude, man.
Yeah, I love Chris
Bond. I forgot to ask him about primetime. Maybe we'll get him on top.